Glad you're here. We're going to make sure all protocols are always followed, so just know that. And if anything ever did happen where we had to close down, then we will be online as well as we are now. So thank you for coming, and thank you for following all those protocols. I really do appreciate it. As a first responder, I really do rely on the medical professionals and the scientists when dealing with this type of stuff. I am in it a lot, so I appreciate them protecting me as well as protecting you. I did get tested last week. I am not positive, which means negative. So voila, here I am. I get mine a little bit quicker because thank goodness for the fire department, eh? Get to just roll over real fast, so I like it. Man, I love that last song. I mean, I love all the worship songs we do, but I really did enjoy that. He's the King of our hearts. I really just when I hear that, he's the King of our hearts and what that all means. And then he's the anchor in the waves. I don't know if you've ever been at anchor during a wavy time, but I'm telling you, you thank goodness for the anchor when it's locked in real tight. Otherwise, sometimes you got to cut it off because you get in the storm, right? I want to talk to you. We're continuing our sermon series in Colossians, and we're going to be in chapter 2, verses 2 to 10. Let me read it for you. It goes like this. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments, for though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition in the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. So again, we see that Paul is showing the Colossians, and he is showing us that wisdom comes from God. It shows, the scriptures show who he is, which is his character, his person, and what he has done through the work of Christ. And he says it is far greater than what our culture can offer to us. We can get caught up in the temporal trappings of this world, and it's easy to do. But Paul wants the Colossians, and he wants you and I to know that it is better to trust the wisdom of God that comes from God, the wisdom from Scripture and his person and his character, than to trust in the wisdom of the age or ages. Culture changes with time, but God stays the same forever. His wisdom never falters. And so in this particular scripture, and in a lot of these scriptures, but in this one, the first few chapters, there's repeated comments that the message is that Christ is in charge. He is in charge of all things, and that his wisdom, it will be higher than that of the world. And you might ask yourself, why on earth is Paul continuing to repeat this over and over again? Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that Paul knows his audience, and he knows humans. He knows mankind, and we easily forget things. We easily forget things. He knows that over time, if not reminded, we will easily forget and move on to something else or feel discontent. We forget. How many of you walked into a room and went, why am I in this room? I have walked many times this week from my office from one side of the building to the main office, stepped in, got distracted by probably nothing, squirrels, and then didn't know why I was there. Turned around, went all the way back, and looked for signs from God to tell me why I left my office in the first place. I don't know if you've ever been driving and you're like, where am I going? I've done it. I've been leaving from one place going, I don't think I'm going in the right direction. Where am I going? Because we're human, and I'm getting older, and I need things like this to see close up. It's ridiculous. But we're like that, and it's part of life. But we do that in our personal relationships, we do that in our relationship with God. Why would there be any difference? We tend to forget the things of God and what he's done for us in the past. And in return, we become less confident in our relationship with him because we've been distracted by other responsibilities, other pressures in life. All throughout the Old Testament, I can give you multiple examples, but I'll only give you two. But all throughout Scripture, God reminds his people. And all I just have to look back to the Garden of Eden. Touch anything except this one thing, and we just can't handle it. But I want to touch that one thing. But you have everything else, everything you've ever wanted. But I want what you said I can't have. Discontent, distraction, where the serpent distracts. But did he really say that? Well, now that you think about it, I don't recall exactly what he said. Surely he would want what's best for us. And then our theology changes quickly. It changes quickly. Moses goes up the mountain for just, you know, a little while. What do the people do? They riot. Kind of parallel to the things of this world right now. Lost vision, lost direction. Everybody freaks out. They burn the city down. Israel decided that they would make their own God and started just losing it. Moses comes down, and it's chaos. Because for a short period of time, they had no direction or vision, and they went their own way. We do that. When you ignore your devotional life with God, your relationship with him, when you put it on hold or allow other things to get in the way, other distractions in life, what you've done is you've become distracted by the things of this world and lost the connection with God. Because you forget. You forget. Oh, I can do that later. Oh, I got other things to do, but I'll get to it. And one day turns into 2 days, turns into 2 months. And we go down this path, and we forget about our relationship with him. Yet, as we walk throughout our day, we think, oh, well, God's in control. How would you know if you haven't been in contact with him? Be in contact with him. Our country, and our people have been distracted by other countries. I use it plural because I don't want to specifically narrow in on one specific country. But we are distracted by other countries' ongoings. And we forget that if we put our trust in God, he will work things out. First of all, there are things that we worry about and that we get all upset on social media about that really is none of our business because you don't live there and are not part of that country. Why would you get into an argument, into a fight with other people about something that is not related to you and has nothing to do with you? Do they impact us in the end? Of course they do. But why are we so concerned about breaking relationships with others because of someone you don't know? It blows my mind that we would focus on things like that instead of worrying about our relationships right here, right now. Spend time with the people you love. Spend time with God. And then worry about the rest of that stuff. But you don't need to worry because he's got it under control. And I'm here to tell you that there are Christians on both sides. I would never want to say something from this platform or on social media or anywhere that would isolate any of you from being able to talk to me because I have this hard opinion, whether I'm right or left or in the middle or wherever I am. That is not my job, and that is not our job. We can pray for those things that are out of our control, and we need to pray, and we should pray. But ultimately, I recognize who's in control, and it's not me. You want to make a difference in this world? Love each other. And also, when it's your time to vote and put your opinion out there, vote. That's it. It's really quite simple. There will be a time in our lives where maybe we have to stand up and fight for something. Let's save it for then instead of fighting other people's battles that doesn't impact us and we have no control over right now. We are living in a very strange time, is what I heard about a year ago. Well, probably about almost four years ago. I would say now that we're living in this moment is stranger than a year ago. Stranger than 4 years ago. Man, stranger than even 20 or 30 years ago. For us, individually and corporately. Preachers were saying that a long time, but I'm telling you right now, this is weird. When you're waiting to find out if you can even meet. And there's panic everywhere. And people are getting in fights over things like masks, over things like washing your hands, over things like whatever. Don't waste your time on that. Just love each other. It'll work itself out. It'll work itself out. But if I do not follow the protocols that the government has ordered us to do, we will not be able to meet. Therefore, we follow the protocols. Give to Caesar what is Caesar, and give to God what is God. That's what we will do. We have a very strong ECP program here, which is short for Exposure Control Program. It's in the office. It's a large document. If you'd like to read it, I would love to give it to you because I worked a little hard on it. In fact, I might just do story time with Mark, and it'll be the ECP program. Here's a lesson on the coronavirus and how it works. But I value emergency service workers. I value medical opinions, and I value science. And it is all in that document. But I digress. Because we are living in a world that can be distracting, because we are living in a world that can be challenging, our faith can be challenged. Our belief system is being challenged. And it's happening right now. Your core belief systems are being challenged. You either roll onto the conspiracy side of things, or you roll onto don't question anything, or you're somewhere in the middle. It's okay to have a balance of questioning. I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist, but I have to say there are sometimes I go, that's odd. But I don't know the facts in some of those things. But our faith can be challenged, and your faith in God is being challenged and will be challenged. And so in a time that we lived in, when there's lots of distractions, we need to remember that we have everything we need in Jesus. Everything we need. We don't have to look anywhere else for fulfillment. Scripture tells us that. Paul is reminding the Colossians that Jesus is all they need. He is the head of the church. God has stood the test of time, but I'm here to tell you that the culture has not, society has not stood the test of time. But his word and his wisdom and his character and everything that he's done through Jesus Christ has stood the test of time. But our culture has not. Time and time again, our culture has proven to let us down. Why? Because the core of everything that our culture has and our society has is ego. What is the best for me, and how does that work with everyone else? We get ourselves in the way. Culture has let you down. Society has let you down. So why not focus on who hasn't let you down, who has stood the test of time, and that's his word, and that's his character, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. So you have everything. History is doomed to repeat itself. Why do you think we're on this cycle that happens all the time? Culture goes through these cycles. I had a discussion with someone the other day, and we were talking about culture. We're talking about in the ancient Near Eastern time, and even in Jesus' day, men did things that are illegal in our country now. We are in a society right now that is better than then. But the culture still sways. And when we forget about our history, when we forget about what has happened in the past, we're doomed to repeat it. So which says to me, on the flip side of that, if I remember what God has done, if I remember his word and what he's doing in my life and what he's done in my life, he's going to repeat it. He's going to be there for me. But culture has proven differently. And if you look at our world now, it just continually makes the same mistakes over and over again. Our society does this, sways back and forth, takes on the beliefs that were dead or that were alive 2,000 years ago, died, and now they're coming back. Because why? Because man can't create anything other than what they want. And when God is in the picture, it's a bigger picture which involves everyone. So you have everything you need in Jesus Christ. We have everything we need in him, and he stood the test of time. In a time when your faith is being challenged, when the core of your belief system will be put on display, is now. When you're in struggles, when you are in difficult times like we are now, your core belief systems come to the front. That's when you start getting upset and angry. Those things get boiled up, and what your core belief system is will become true, and everyone will see it. Be very careful. I put a thing out on Facebook because I was getting tired of seeing other pastors that I know post things about the elections down in the States and what side they're on. Be very careful. We don't want to isolate people. We don't want to say things, because if we're wondering why that's such a big deal to voice my opinion and let it out to the social media world, then guess what? We're part of the problem. So we need to be very careful. So when our faith is being challenged, focus on Jesus. Focus on him. Secondly, we must be grounded in his word. Every generation of Christians faces some type of adversity or assault on their belief system. We are and will be no different than any other generation. Some of the assaults on our Christian faith right now, it's nothing new to assaults on the Christian faith. It was in Bible times, it was before. But it's come all the way through up to now. But right now, a real popular way of thinking is cultural Christianity, where, well, I was kind of born into it. My beliefs, I have some of those beliefs, Christian beliefs. And yeah, sure, I believe in God. I was brought up that way. Kind of like the Diet Coke of Christianity. You know, it's just not quite good enough. It's not quite the real thing. It's watered down to fit the individual's liking, what we want, what we pull out of Scripture. And we're like, oh, I like that. But just before and after that, it says something completely different that actually could be sarcasm. And then we miss that. But we pick out what we like. And then we take that and we live that. And that becomes our core belief. That's cultural Christianity, picking and choosing from wherever we want. The other part of that is it's my right to whatever. I'm here to tell you, you have no rights. And you may be shocked at that, but you have no rights because you gave them up when you became a Christian and put your faith in Jesus Christ. You gave your rights over to him and surrendered your life to him so that you would do what he's asked you to do. Not what necessarily you want to do, but what he has asked you to do. And the first of that, love God, love your neighbor as yourself, which takes ego and throws it in the back seat. That means you have no rights. So if you want to walk around saying, I have the right to this and the right to that, you're biblically in error. Biblically in error, and I'm here to tell you that this morning. I'm sorry. I'm trying to do it with love, but you come on. You can't be self-centered and believe the gospel. You can't. You have to throw yourself aside and put Christ in charge. I'm very frustrated with our society today and our Christian society. You're all lovely. But it's frustrating. North American Christianity is nothing like what it should be. And we need to be very careful. Down in the States, they believe that if you're a Republican, you're a Christian, and if you're a Democrat, you're not. That's ludicrous. Ludicrous. In Canada, let's bring it here. Well, if you're a Christian, you're conservative. You would never think of being Liberal or NDP, those heathens. Be very careful. Be very careful. And I don't know if you looked at any election results, but there's a lot of secret NDPers in British Columbia. I don't know if you noticed that, but I looked at the results. So I'm sure a few of them were Christians. And you're like, no way, that's not possible. Yes, we can have different beliefs politically. We can still be Christians. Be careful. Be careful how you label these things. North American Christianity likes to put itself in the front seat. You are a servant to others, and Jesus is our King. Let that marinate for a little bit. When we are grounded in the word of, in the biblical word, our faith is not weakened. Our faith is not watered down because of what's going on around the world. Our faith is not, we don't struggle with God because we're in His word. It can be attacked, but we hold true to what He has been and is. We can hold true to what He says. So in a time when your faith is struggling, you've got everything in Jesus. You got to be grounded in the word. And you will see the work of God in your own life and in the lives of other. So there's this technique. I don't know if you've done a lot of art studying of like playwrights, an arts degree of literature and all that. Don't worry, that's not my major. But I have done a little reading. And there's this technique, and it's called Chekhov's gun. And what that technique is that in any play, on stage, and they do it in movies, but on stage specifically in his time, Anton Chekhov, if there was a gun in the background on stage, within the end of that show, of the end of that play, that gun had to go off. It had to be fired. You'll see it in movies nowadays where there's many different movies, but I mean, there's an older one called Back to the Future, and it has these sequels. And in those sequels, there'll be a TV screen, and then in the second sequel, they're in that time of that TV screen that's being filmed. Like it's Chekhov's gun. It's the same thing, and they go into the third, and they have it on in all the trilogies. If you're reading Lord of the Jedi's or whatever that thing is that the kids like nowadays, but there's a lot of that through there. There's plants in there for you to look at it. You'll see it in a lot of James Bond movies. They'll have something there, and then in the end, that's why that was. Things are not placed in the screen just randomly for art's sake. There's a reason why. There's always something in there. Well, that is similar to our life when we dedicate ourselves to a consistent devotional life. When we dive into Scripture daily, you will be surprised at how often what you've read is applicable to you, maybe that day or a few days later, or applicable to someone else in your life that you're talking. And it's not called Chekhov's gun. It's called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is bringing to you what you have read, what He said to you and spoke to you about His character and who He is. He's using that throughout your week and throughout your day because you're in the Word. because you're in the Word. The key to this, though, is you have to be in the Word daily, which means you have to have some type of action to make it happen. You have to do it, you have to get into it, and you have to ask God to speak to you and bring things to light. When you're in Scripture, it makes your life and your world around you come alive, because no matter where you go, you have heard from God and you see things that happen in other people's lives and are able to be there for them, maybe speak into their lives, or you'll just notice it, you can pray for them. But even in your own life, it's churning up with inside you. It illuminates the life around you, the Word of God, and that's the Holy Spirit. And if you're not in the Word, if you're not having a relationship with God regularly, daily, you will miss those opportunities for God to speak to you and you to speak to others. But I have a lot of responsibilities. We all do. I'm very busy. Yep. Do it anyways. It takes effort for God to work. You need to put something into it. He's done all the rest of it. We just got to put this little bit of work. And you will see things happen in other people's lives and be a part of that. And what a great, incredible opportunity for you to speak into someone's life and build them up. In a time when our faith will be challenged, let him speak to you. Let him speak to you. Do you want God to use you and speak to you and to show you things that you have never seen before? A daily devotional life in the Word, hearing from him and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you and show you everything around you that he wants you to do is the only way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. I pray that we will hear your voice, that we will see and be shown by the Holy Spirit. Let your Word illuminate from Scripture. Let your Word come out and smack us in the face and get us on the right track so that we can pour into other people's lives and put our ego in the back seat and put you in the driver's. We thank you for everything that you do in our lives and what you're about to do in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I hope you have a great week, and we will see you in person next week as well as online.